is Taz.
The mood is about to change.
The Human Podcast Machine.
Okay, welcome to the Fantasy Draft Edition of the Human Podcast Machine. I am Taz. My guest will be the professor, Professor Vegas himself, Mike Tenay, and we are going to cover the top 10 current wrestlers, and if we have time, we will cover the top 10 all-time wrestlers. So, Mike Tenay, my man, Professor Vegas, please tell us about Unlocked.
Hold on a second here. Look, first off, Taz, before we go any further, let me just say congratulations on not only the launch of the Human Podcast Machine, but also the level of success that you've already attained in such a short time. And, you know, when I sit back, when I take into account the level of competition, the quality of the competition in this, I guess, this genre of podcast, the numbers that you've put up, what can I say? One hell of an accomplishment, my friend.
Well, thanks again, Mike. I do appreciate it. And thank you to all the fans out there also. So before we get to the top 10, Biz, can we please talk about Unlocked?
Well, you know, it really has been a fun challenge for me. And when I think about Unlocked, I think that my goal is to take that Impact Wrestling broadcast and to add exclusive elements to that show that are going to encourage people to watch a replay. And I know that sounds on the surface like it's a tough chore, but what we've added is things like the TNA Top 5 rankings. Many weeks we're going to have an in-depth interview with the TNA star, something that just goes beyond that normal one-and-a-half-minute interview that you normally see with a wrestler. And then at the same time, we have my on-screen messages my hope is that...
Yes, those are very cool. I love that.
The goal there, educate and entertain the viewer at the same time. You know, just hoping to make the replay of Impact Wrestling, the unlocked version, make it different enough and make it important enough to bring viewers to the table.
Well, I think what's being done by the production staff at TNA Studios, the Worldwide Studios, I should say, in Nashville, Tennessee, and all of your research and all of your time building these graphics and putting the effort into it, and not only that, the turnaround time, that's the most craziest part, how quick it's getting done.
Yeah, it really is a project because of the short time, like you say, that we have in terms of the turnaround. And what I like to do with the on-screen messages is I like to play off of the original commentary with yourself and Josh Matthews. I think that by being able to add that one extra layer to a comment, to a fact that you guys have brought up, and then maybe just take it to that next level. I really think that that's the beauty of it. And then when you can add overall things like history notes and maybe even a news note here and there, an opinion from a wrestler, an opinion from me, but it really is a project in terms of watching the show for myself and then using a time code that's labeled on the viewer that I have on the screener that I have and trying to match up the message that I have at the proper time and to make it from a production standpoint where it's viewer friendly. I think that's probably the one goal that we have, and once we get this thing, you know, really up and running after a couple of months, I think it's going to be so much simpler. But yeah, it really is a project up front.
Well, you're doing a great job, man. Seriously. Okay, look, we're gonna go to break. We're gonna come back with Professor Vegas. He's staying right here with us. We're gonna go over the top 10 current wrestlers, and even Seth, the producer of my show, he's gonna be part of this from a fan perspective.
Let me just jump in one time. Yeah. About Seth. You know, but bro, I know you're taking this podcast thing real seriously.
Of course I am.
But I can't believe that you forced me to have a pre-interview with your producer, Seth. Bro, you think you know me well enough. What, 25 years we've been working together? Come on, the pre-interview? What the hell is this? Huh? Is this Jimmy Kimmel or something? Come on, you're killing me.
Well, Mike, I got to make sure you're good on air, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, see if I can cut the mustard, I got it.
Well, look, truth be told, I was worried you're going to choke, you know?
That's one thing I've never seen you do is choke on. That's
Okay, we'll be right back with the Fantasy Draft Edition of the Human Podcast Machine. Top 10 current wrestlers, myself and a professor coming at you.
The Human Podcast Machine.
Titan!
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You think you're good, but you're not, you know.
So basically, we're going to do like, you know, fantasy football, obviously, it's just an insanely popular thing worldwide, and I play fantasy football at a very low level compared to the level you play fantasy football, and I look at you as a guy who's one of a pure expert in the fantasy world. Seth here, my producer, you know, he produces one of the best podcasts, I feel, on fantasy football, and you know, Seth, I know you look like you want to talk, so you got.
I just want to say thank you.
You're welcome. So we're going to minimize Seth's talking here, but he's going to be incorporated in this little game we're going to play here, Mike. So basically, what we're going to get into is fantasy wrestling. Top 10 draft current wrestlers and fantasy wrestling top 10 draft all-time wrestlers.
You know, okay. I'm not sure if it was you or I that came up with this idea, and it sounded really great on the surface. It sounded great on paper. And when you sit there, I can come up with the top 10 easy. But I don't know about you, but slotting them in the places 1 through 10, God, what a pain that
was.
Hard.
But, let me host a show. That's the one. Okay. I know you have to control everything. I'm well aware.
That's a play-by-play guy thing. I know that.
And Barry the Color Guy. And I can tell you this. This whole concept, this whole creative of this particular podcast that we're doing on the fantasy wrestling was my idea, Mike. Okay?
It was my idea. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it was my idea.
Well, good. That way when it tanks, you can take the heat.
Well, that's when I pass the heat, you know. So,
I know. Trust me, at the end of the show, when it tanks, all of a sudden it's my idea.
Oh, yeah, Mike. Well,
you know what? Let's just put the heat on Seth.
Oh, that's easy. You have to. So listen. So, look, let's real quick, before we get into the fantasy wrestling top 10 draft current and top 10 draft all time, for those that don't know, or maybe know, obviously all wrestling fans, my listeners that are nice enough to download this podcast, and I appreciate it, they know Mike Tenay, the professor. But maybe some aren't too familiar with your background. Let's go to a quick little overview of what made you a fan when you were a kid, you know, your passion towards Lucha Libre and all that, and kind of which got you on the map. Talk about that a little bit for us, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to try and do that as quick as I can. It was one of those things where I was introduced to wrestling by my grandfather. He came out to Southern California in 1962, and he says, you know what we're going to do tonight? We're going to watch professional wrestling. Had not watched it before to that point. We turn it on, and I'm absolutely enthralled because the first guy I see is a wrestler by the name of the Destroyer.
True, yeah.
Dick Byer. He wears a mask, so there's that identity thing. Why is this guy wearing a mask? Yeah, I'm not sure.
What's he hiding? Why is he hiding?
What's he hiding?
Yeah.
Promo-wise, tremendous. What a talker this guy is. In the ring, sensational. Former football player, as you know, at Syracuse University. Yep. Went on to become a great in-ring performer. And he has the figure four leg lock, which no one can break, yet he gives $1,000 if anybody can break the figure four leg lock. And for whatever reason, it just busted right through the screen, and I was hooked right from that moment. Immediately got into it, just reading anything I could about wrestling, watching every show, getting every magazine, and was so taken by it that, believe it or not, I started my own wrestling newsletter back in 1966, of all things.
You're the guy who created the dirt sheets.
Can you imagine? I was the guy. Did that for about 7 years. Also wrote for the magazines, all the newsstand magazines. I wrote for the program in Los Angeles, the Olympic Auditorium. And I always had that passion for wrestling, but business and school and other things, girls, and that all got in the way for a while. And wrestling kind of got put on the back burner. I was fortunate. I was working at the Gold Coast Casino in Las Vegas. And I don't know whether many people know that, but over a decade, I was in race and sportsbook management in Las Vegas. And I was a guest on a radio show, and we were talking about betting sports and the like, and it was all going along great. When the guy asked me about my early days in wrestling, when I worked at the Olympic Auditorium in L.A., writing for the programs and talking about old wrestlers, and the thing just took off like mad. It was a springboard to my own wrestling radio show, which I did for probably 6-7 years, the Wrestling Insider's national show, and that opened the door for me to be able to come on and work for WCW. I guess initially it was
if you could come up for a breath.
I guess, you know, there's nothing better than talking about yourself. You know that better than anybody.
Thanks, Mike.
I love
how you stop for a second, bury me again, and then keep talking. So, but I have to ask you a question. I want because you're going. You know, I know you. You're a machine. Okay, so
you're the machine.
I am. That's true. I am the podcast machine. That's right. That's right, Seth. That's right. I am the machine. Mike, you're not the machine. So here's the thing. I just want to backtrack a little bit. What was your passion towards, like, the Lucha Libre thing kind of put you on the map? Do you think it was kind of because you grew up in Southern California and how that resurgence of, you know, wrestlers from Mexico, luchadors, coming up to the West Coast, wrestling in L.A. and all that jazz? Is that how that happened?
Absolutely. It was the fact that I was introduced to it with that first wave, really, if you think about it. I mean, certainly the border towns in Texas had it, but in terms of Southern California, the first real wave where they went with the luchadors in the top slots was the Mil Máscaras, the Rey Mendozas, the Juarez's, the Gordman and Goliath. They brought them in, and they were so strong, and all of a sudden, you noticed that at the Olympic Auditorium, the crowd, the makeup of the crowd switched drastically. You had the group that for years attended and watched Blassie, the Destroyer. They watched Tolis. Now, all of a sudden, you would look around, and the crowd was 50-60% Hispanic at that point.
Right.
And it took off like crazy. So, yeah, that was the early introduction. That made me, I guess, comfortable with it. And then...
So that kind of puts you, I hate to use the cliche, put you on the map, but that kind of got, I guess, like an Eric Bischoff, he kind of understood, or once WCW started rolling, I know we're taking a lot of stuff out of what happened during your career, but, you know, that kind of your knowledge as the professor, as an expert on Lucha Libre and all that jazz, and you're a historian in the business, did that kind of perk at Eric Bischoff when he was running WCW?
Yeah, I don't think I probably get the entree into the business without it. The first offering that I had was that When Worlds Collide pay-per-view. And I'll never forget Gary Juster, working for WCW at the time, came to Las Vegas. We met for breakfast. He says, can you do this show? I said, of course I can do this show. No problem. I had done radio. I hadn't really done TV at that point.
Right.
And fortunately for me, it worked out well. And yeah, and then at the same time, how great was it that Monday Nitro broadcast was just loaded with incredible talent from Mexico and Japan? You had your Ultimo Dragons from Japan. You had your Rey Mysterios from Mexico. Your Eddie Guerreros. It was a natural fit for me. And like anything else in the wrestling business, is, you know, timing. Right place, right time. And fortunately for me, that was the slot that Eric Bischoff, you know, felt that they needed somebody in that role. And it worked out great. And if you think back to that When Worlds Collide pay-per-view, the WCW announced teams, they were offered that job, and they put up their hands and they said, no way.
Right.
We don't want to do it. Because they looked at the lineup, and here's, you know, they might know Tito Santana, obviously, one or two guys underneath. They don't know anybody else on the card. They don't know Perro Aguayo, Conan, nothing.
From an announcer's perspective, color commentator's perspective, they don't want to be exposed.
Exactly.
That's the problem, right.
Exactly. So. Which was also fortunate for me, because now that, you know, that door again was opened, and that enabled Chris Cruz and I to do that first broadcast.
Yes, and I thought Chris Cruz was awesome. I actually thought he was better than you, but I digress.
Wait a minute. I thought we had an understanding that Seth was going to be the whipping boy on this show.
Whoa.
I'd like to see that put on his business card. Producer/whipping boy.
So, and a lot of people don't know, before we get into the fantasy wrestling top 10, a lot of people don't know, Mike, maybe you could briefly, which I know is probably not physically possible for you to briefly explain something, but maybe you could briefly explain that you were kind of giving input and feedback to Bischoff during those Monday Nitros, correct?
Well, I think it was more of a case of trying to provide information for the viewers. In terms of feedback for Eric, absolutely. I think there was a long time period where after every show, he would come to me and he would, you know, get a rating, a 1 to 10. Give me what it is. And I'll never forget the greatest story about this is he came to me one day, and it was a good Nitro, not a great Nitro. And I'm standing there. Eric says, how was the show? I said, it was good, not great. I give it a strong 7. All of a sudden, I see right over Eric's shoulder is Larry Zbysko standing there. You know, Larry's been in the business at that point, holy, what, 25, 30 years
yeah,
already
yeah, yeah,
at that
yeah.
point. And I see Larry just shaking his head.
Don't do it, back and forth.
Yeah. Eric peels off, walks away, and Larry turns to me and says, Professor, what are you thinking? When Bischoff asks you what the show is on a 1, it's a 10! It's a 10, you idiot!
Oh yeah, that's pro wrestling across the board behind the scenes, right there.
That may be the definition of pro wrestling in a nutshell,
I think that basically covers it. So, all right, so let's have some fun here. You ready to rock and roll? You need to plug anything? You need to talk about anything? You want to put yourself over more?
I think I've handled that already. Let's get to these ratings and rankings.
All right, so this is where we're gonna do this, okay? And I want your input, Mike, because you're a structured fella. So I think what we do here is we're going to do fantasy wrestling top 10 draft. Let's do the current guys first.
I like that.
And let's cover in-ring work rate, mic work, and physical look is what I did my list. Seth, how about your list? What's it based off of?
The same thing, because you told me what to do, Tess.
Thank you.
We didn't have
Thanks
this
for being honest. Yeah, no, Mike and I didn't. Seth just stooged me off.
This is what I wrote down. I wrote down in-ring ability, promo ability, character development, historical impact, longevity, ability to sell tickets, sell merchandise, bottom line, move the needle.
OMG.
I'm glad you didn't take this too seriously.
Yeah, you know what his last words to me right as he hung up the phone? Tonight, do your homework. And he hangs up the phone. He hits me with the 7 a.m. Tonight, do your homework. Gone.
Oh, God, that's true. I did do that. All right, so.
Now, the other thing I think we need in this 2015 list, the current list, I think we also need maybe to consider potential. Because if you're drafting a fantasy football team, you don't necessarily say, this guy had DeMarco Murray, had a huge season. I know he's going to do that. You might look for somebody else. So I think you might have to lean also towards a little bit of potential.
I agree.
It's a keeper league.
Yeah, so. Right. It's a great keeper.
Well, there you go. Now you're changing the rules again. Now I got to restructure my top 10. Can you guys call me back in about 20 minutes?
Well, I don't think we have enough tape. So, so even though this is on digital, I'm showing my age tape. So anyway, so this is what we're going to do. I think we go... I'll mention my number 10 guy. And we'll work our way to number 1. I'll mention my guy, talk about him, or what should we do? Should I mention it? Then, Mike, you mention... Oh, you're the guest, Tanae. You mention your guy. Seth mentioned...
Let me take over the hosting role here. Let's go 10 to 1. Let's go Taz. Let's go Seth. Let's go Mike. We'll bounce it around that way. And each guy gets a sentence or two. Because you're the Taz, come on. Keep it to a minimum.
Oh, my God. You're killing me. Soundbite, son. So, all right, so...
No run-on sentences, please. No
right,
run-on
so,
sentences.
I'm not... you're the guest. I wanted you to go first. You want to go last because you want to be the closer.
No, I'd love to go first. Let me go first, then.
All right, so you go first. Seth will go second. He's the middleman, and I'm the main eventer, so I'll go last. I'm humble, and I'm humble. All right, so boom. So Mike, and begin. Who's your number 10?
Number 10 slot. I'm going to go with Wade Barrett.
Wow.
We're looking at size. We're looking at believability. I know there's been some injury questions with him, but just like in terms of fantasy football, sometimes you have to say, I think maybe he'll get over those injuries. Potential down the line again. I'm going to go with Wade Barrett.
I like that.
Might be a surprise,
no,
but
I
that's
like that.
In the 10 slot.
I'll tell you why I like that. I like Wade Barrett. I don't have him on my list, but I will tell you this about Wade Barrett. That kid, look, I'm calling him a kid, but he looks, he's so believable. His work, his face, his voice, the way he sounds, there's something about him, that grit. I'm a little pissed off at myself that I don't have him on my list, so that's your number 10. Good job.
Well, I think the reason you don't have him on the list is he was trained by Al Snow, so we're going to just stretch that.
Well,
right
now I'm happy he's not on my list.
The other thing, too, is with Barrett, I think people, when you watch him on TV, you don't realize the size. This guy's like 6'6", 6'7".
I know. He's taller than me. All right, so Seth.
Barely.
So, Seth, what's your number? Seth is struggling. Who's your number 10?
He should be my number 1 because he has the best first name in the business, but I'm going to go with Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah. All right. All right. Talk about him.
Oh, I'm thinking about keeper league. So I think he's come such a long way in such a short period of time.
Yep.
He's building himself up too. He's building his body. He's got mic skills. Well, he's got a presence, and I think he's got a great future in the business.
I'll tell you this, Seth. I have Seth Rollins on my list. Don't cheat and look at it. I'm not telling you where. I honestly think you have him too. You don't have him. You're not giving him enough respect. That's what I
he's
think.
He's on
Seth
my
Rollins.
List.
I know
my
he's
list.
On your list, bro.
So that's
I know
respect.
That. What about you, Tanae? What do you think of Seth Rollins?
I have Seth Rollins just outside the top 10.
Okay, we're going to get into the outside top 10 because I have a few fellows on that too. So, okay, my 10, my guy at number 10 is the one and only Samoa Joe. I feel that I have a pretty heavy list here. To have a guy like Samoa Joe in a 10 hole, my list is legit. Again, so I am proud of my list, and I'm boasting about my list. Samoa Joe, I just feel like his history, he's a TNA Grand Champion, multi-time world champion, the Samoan submission machine. From a credibility standpoint, I think he's tremendous. The past couple of years in TNA, his promo style, his cadence in his promo has changed for the better. Mike, I know you and I have talked about that behind the scenes, and I'm just a huge fan of Samoa Joe. His look is different. He doesn't have that ripped, muscular look like all these other guys. He's not a cosmetic-looking pretty thing, but the thing is, he looks like a guy that could tear your head off.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of correlations between a Samoa Joe and a Wade Barrett, too.
Yes.
I mean, they're both that super believable product, you know?
So you're going to bury Joe? You don't think Joe's good, Mike?
I have Joe just outside.
Oh, I'm a little surprised at that.
I am Joe too.
Trust me, I am too.
Okay, I'm a little surprised.
That just tells you how good my list is.
All right, well, I think my list is the best, but I digress.
Let's talk about number 9.
Okay, sure, host. Go ahead, Mike. Let's talk about number 9.
Number 9 on my list is Bobby Roode.
Okay.
When I think of Bobby Roode, I think of smooth. I think of a guy whose in-ring work is effortless, yet peerless. It's right there at the top. For me, and I know that the John Cena had the name the prototype,
right.
But to me, when I think of a wrestler prototype in terms of look, in terms of the promo ability, in terms of the bell-to-bell, Bobby Roode gets my vote. I put Bobby Roode at number 9.
I'm surprised to hear that you had him 9. I have Bobby Roode on my list. Not going to expose it yet where, but I am a massive fan of Bobby Roode and think that he is one of the he's a throwback but yet a current megastar, in my opinion. The guy just exemplifies what a world champion is from a speaking perspective, physically, the whole 9 yards. Seth, what do you got?
I got him on my list, too. I got Bobby Roode. And also, just when you guys were talking about him, it made me click. Clicked in my head. I thought Kurt Hennig. You guys, does that make any sense?
The Bobby Roode, Kurt Hennig comparison?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And Roode will tell you that Kurt Hennig is one of those guys that he patterned his career after.
Right,
you know,
9.
In his in-ring style.
9. Who's your number 9, Seth? 9.
My number 9 is...
I became German. I don't know what happened.
I'm going to another country. I'm going to Russia, and I'm going with Rusev. I really like this guy. I like to have a little diversity in my list.
Okay,
and he's that foreigner who's a badass,
right.
Who just has that wrestling ability, and I just like him for keeper league.
I think that young man Rusev. I mean, the tomato that with him is unbelievable too. But I gotta tell you, Rusev, I think is definitely a young man that's gonna have. He has a very bright future in the business. I honestly don't have him on my list. I don't have him outside my list neither because he can't speak. So I saw him talk a little bit. I did.
It's coming around.
But coming around and being a talker that can talk, that has chops, as we say, that's why I don't see him in a top 10. Just my opinion. But it's a good pick on 9 for you. I think that's good, Seth.
Keeper.
For me, not in my top 10, not outside my top 10, and expressly because of the limitations that Taz just talked about.
There you go. So I'm going to give you my number 9. And it's another TNA guy. I'm not being Joe Homer here, but it's just a coincidence. Low-key. I look at Low-key as a guy that does not get the publicity, does not get the hype that so many other guys do. But, Mike, you've called more of his matches than I, and I know Low-key very well. And I got to tell you, there isn't really anybody that is more believable in the ring than this guy. His work is just insane. He's not a giant of a man, but he's in great muscular shape. He has the physique that fits his gimmick. His talking, you know, he kind of sounds like one of those guys from those karate movies back when we were kids that it sounds like, so, you think the money's yours? Like, you know, it's like the guy, like, throws his voice. It's like, it's hilarious. I think it's great. We, you know, we don't see him speak enough. I think his look is very unique. You look at him, you can't tell. Is he African-American? Is he Hispanic? You know, what is he? What country is he from? Oh, he's from Brooklyn. Wow, that's crazy. You know, but this guy, just to me, I'm a huge low-key fan. He's my number nine.
Incredibly stiff in the ring. Like you said, that voice, at some point down the line, there's voiceover work in this young man's future.
Yes.
Can you imagine him saying, this is CNN?
That would be tremendous. Then he sidekicks the guy in the face.
You know? Then the stiff kick.
Yeah, stiff kick. So that's my number nine. All right, where are we? We're going number eight. Tanay, who's your number eight?
My number eight is Dean Ambrose.
Wow.
Now, I do not have Rollins and Reigns in my top ten. I have them just outside the top ten. I think when you look at the three guys in the Shield, the one long-term potential to be the breakout guy is Ambrose. Believe it or not, over Rollins and Reigns. When I see Dean Ambrose, I almost feel like it's the second coming of Terry Funk. There's absolutely times when they get a camera shot, and it's his in-ring style reminiscent of Terry Funk, probably not quite as, and I know that's the character that he has right now is almost along the lines of that, probably not as crazy as Terry Funk used to be, but there's times when you get a camera shot of him, and the look is, it's Terry Funk from, you know, that early 1970s look of Terry Funk. I'm going to go with Dean Ambrose in the number eight slot.
Okay, I think that's awesome. I think he's another tremendous competitor, a tremendous star, a young star, but I'm going to pause for a second because I'm angry, Mike. I'm angry. It's good news and bad news.
Uh-oh.
Okay. What one you want first, Mike?
I'd like the bad news first.
The bad news is I'm not angry at you.
Good.
The good news is I'm angry at Seth. So, Seth.
Uh-oh.
Mike, understand what's happening in this studio right now.
What?
So I'm sitting here looking at my list. I'm listening to you. This guy's my producer. He's writing stuff. Like, what is this guy writing? I look over, and he's writing your top 10 as you're rolling, mine as I'm rolling, and I got a freaking blank piece of paper over here. He don't even smart me up how to do this. He's a fantasy football expert. You, Tanay, you're an expert. I'm doing the freaking free ESPN fantasy football with teenagers. So so now, Tanay, who was your number 2? Who was Tanay's 10?
My 10 was Wade Barrett. My 9, Bobby
Roode.
Slow down!
Jesus Christmas, I'm trying to write.
Oh, come on. Pick up the speed, would you?
Barrett. Hold on. Wade Barrett. And who was 9 for you, Mike?
Bobby Roode and Dean Ambrose.
This is all your fault, Seth. All your fault.
You're fired.
Seth, who'd you have 10?
10, I had Rollins. Seth Rollins.
Right. So we're regrouping here. And who's 9?
Rusev.
Right. And then who's 8? Oh, we're
going
to go to 8.
I'm going 8 now.
Oh, I spat.
Would you let him go? Would you just let the man talk?
You want to do this draft? Can I do my draft?
Do it. Do your 8. Do it.
Cesaro, I got number 8.
All right.
I feel like he's got, you know, again, I'm thinking keeper league. I'm going with these guys, little diamonds in the rough. I think he has a great future, great potential. He's got his own thing going on.
What's his own thing? He wears a black towel on his head?
Yeah, he's the first guy to ever do that, I think.
Wow.
Tanay, wow. That's what he says.
Infringement.
I just think he has a lot of potential in the business. And, you know, he's taken a couple steps forward, a couple steps back, and hopefully he'll find his path again.
I think that physically he looks great. His face. I was a fan of this guy when he was in Ring of Honor. I don't have him on my list, okay? And I don't have him on my outside list, and there's the reason of his speaking ability. He can't cut a promo, in my opinion. Okay, maybe he'll get there. I don't know. You know, some of his best work, I thought, was when Heyman was his manager in WWE because he had to have a mouthpiece, and that's okay, but to me, you got to be a hybrid of a speaker, a physical specimen to a degree, or a special look physically, and your in-ring work rate. I think that this young man, Cesaro, has his in-ring work, no problem. I mean, I was a fan of his in Ring of Honor, as I said. I think he's kind of lost his identity. He had the white bands on his legs. He didn't. He had red bands, no more bands. Get the black towels. He's got a red towel. He's got a robe. He's got no robe. You got to find yourself, son. That's what it's about.
I have confidence that he will.
Okay, so I got to give my number 8. Mike, do you have any input you want to give on what I just said or what Seth said about Cesaro?
quickly, Cesaro outside of my top 10. Had him on the list as under consideration. But like you said, there's so many questions, and I just feel like I have 10 guys that just exceeded what he's accomplished or down the line his potential.
Agreed.
We'll be right back with the warm, cuddly, fuzzy Taz.
The Human Podcast Machine.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Style is immensely strong and immune to nearly any weapon. When it's properly used, it's almost...
Now, my number eight, Bray Wyatt. Okay, big fan. Okay, this guy just, you know, his obviously his legacy, his family, his dad, Rotunda, all that jazz. He's got that in his blood. That's number one. Second generation, right, Mike? Second generation guy. Tremendous look. Love the guy's look, okay? You see cats walking around the streets all over the place, you know, with the beard, trying to steal a look or stealing the Eric Young look, whatever. So I think he's got a great look. I think his in-ring work is underrated. I think the guy could go. He's an athlete, okay? And his speaking is, you know, probably some of the best in the business today. I think Bray Wyatt, number eight, hopefully I'm doing him justice.
I love Bray Wyatt. I do not have him on my list. The two people that were my 11 and 12, Bray Wyatt, and boy, are you right when you say don't judge that book, right, by the cover. No question about it. The two guys I had just outside my list, just bubbling under there, one was Bray Wyatt, and the other, probably surprise you, was Bram.
Well, why are you saying this now, Mike? We're going through the list. Why are you ruining my show? Why?
Can't help myself.
I know you got to spoil everything because it's not your show. I got it, Mike.
You asked for my opinion whether I had the guy in the top 10 or not, and I'm telling you, bubbling under. Bubbling under?
I know bubbling. I got a lot of stuff bubbling under. I had Scrapple for breakfast. So no, instead of Professor Vegas, you should be Professor Ballbreaker. That's what you should be. So anyway, where are we? Seven, Mike. Yep. You got to give your number seven.
I'm going to go Professor on you here, and I'm going to go outside the U.S. promotions. The emergence of New Japan Pro Wrestling in the last year or two has been amazing. The stars of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and they've got some great ones. And I looked at the list, and I had Tanahashi on the list. I had Okada on the list. I had Nakamura, and I said, you know what? I'm only going to take one of these three guys. And I went with Okada because of age. He's like 26, 27 years old. Tanahashi is 37 years old.
Right.
I went with Okada instead, and I think it's amazing that I have him at number seven. And then I think back to how this guy was in TNA recently.
Yeah.
You know, within the last couple of years, he was in TNA. And it really was a shame to see that he didn't get utilized better with TNA.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, definitely TNA did not. At that time, I don't remember who was running creative then, but they obviously didn't see something in Okada, and Okada definitely massive star for New Japan Pro Wrestling, and that's kind of what happens. It's a different show for booking, but you know, booking's in the eye of the beholder, as they say. So you know, you might like vanilla, I might like chocolate, and Seth, he might like pistachio. There's a good chance he likes rainbow, but I
digress. Wait a minute.
There's anything wrong with that. So anyway.
All right, Jerry.
Come on, PC, politically correct.
All right, Seth is going to give us his number seven, Mike.
Seven, we already talked about. He's a phenomenal wrestler. Not AJ Styles. He's another phenomenal guy, Bobby Roode.
Okay, you got Roode at seven. Okay, what is it that you what do you like and don't like about Roode?
I think he's a great. His in-ring work is fantastic. His promo is most of the time on point. Sometimes I feel like it's a little bit forced.
Okay.
If I'm going to nitpick,
gotcha.
But overall, yeah, I think he's great.
Yeah. Okay. You just have other guys you feel that are above him. Okay. All right. I'm a huge Roode fan. I have at number. What are we on? What number? I'm confused. Seven.
Seven.
Jeez, I need a roadmap here. I need like a GPS system. I got MVP. Might surprise some folks. I'll tell you why MVP. He's always crisp, as we call it, in the ring. His work is always solid, always. His promo skills are tremendous. His look from when we saw him surge out in WWE back years ago was a different look. The character, the 305 thing, the number one agent, free agent, you know, spinning off of pro sports. And that was all MVP's creative mindset. his IP, as we call it, intellectual property, meaning his gimmick, his character is him. He's also a student of the game and well-versed on in Japan wrestling and worldwide in Mexico. You know, so I respect him. I respect his work. And I believe he's in a good spot on my list at 7.
This is a tough list to make. You know, MVP is great, and it's hard to come up with 10 guys, and he's definitely deserving.
I mean, you think back to that match that MVP had in Tokyo, Japan at our Bound for Glory pay-per-view, and that's where I think you see the potential of how great he can be that really, really just shines through at that point.
No doubt, and that's why I had him there. So 7, all right, boom, now we are on 6. So
swing the wheel to me at 6, and I'm going to go with AJ Styles in the 6th spot.
Wow.
In-ring ability, unquestioned. You know, I think when you look at some of the other things, in terms of promo ability, okay. I think his position with New Japan Pro Wrestling is almost tailor-made. The promo ability there is one of those things where it's probably secondary, obviously. His in-ring, it matches with the best of the Japanese guys. I have AJ Styles in the number 6 spot.
Yeah, and I think that's, look, there's aren't many better than AJ Styles, and he's on my list too, and I'll get into my feelings about AJ in a sec. Good pick right there, Mike, in the 6th hole. I agree with that. What do you got, Seth?
I got one of you guys' favorite. I got Gunner at number 6. Gunner's stacked. He's ripped. He's improving constantly. I think he's got a hell of a future in the business, and he's already making it happen, so he's great.
Yeah, no. Gunner, as I think, Mike, you might have been the first to deem him as Mr. Intensity, I believe, and he fits the mold every time.
No question, and I had him right with that Bray Wyatt-Bram group that just didn't make my top 10, so I could not argue with Gunner.
Well, speaking of Bram, he's my number 6, and I want to explain it. Some might say, "Wow, he never really held a major title, or as the time we're taping this, he never held a major title." Let's preface that. Here's the thing with Bram, and you heard me say this throughout this list. Just my strong opinion in regards to this topic with wrestlers. I keep saying words like believability. His work looks real. He's real. He's real. He's real. That's the key. To suspend that belief. You know it's entertainment. But the guys that can go in there and verbally speak and make you believe them. Look in the camera and you look through their eyes and they believe what they're saying. His work, the physicality, all of those things I just listed, that's Bram. This kid has the look. He's almost like a modern-day Bruiser Brody, per se. And I'm a gigantic fan of Bram's look, his verbal skills, his physicality. He's young. I got him at 6. I don't care. Keep a league or not, Seth, but I didn't want to say this kid's a stud. I predict a massive upside for Bram.
We're breaking into the top 5. This is big, guys. At number 5, I have Daniel Bryan. In-ring ability, again, great. His ability to sell merchandise, I think, as of the last year or two, has been tremendous.
Hold on. So here's the thing. You made up your own rules here, and that pisses me off.
You didn't give me any rules.
No.
What else am I going to do?
Here's what
you said. Do your homework. Goodbye. Slam the phone down. So of course I have to make up my own rules.
No, Mike, that's BS. I told you. Seth did his homework. Look, in-ring work, mic work, physical look. That's it. You've got, how much percentage royalty he gets. He sold five hoodies.
Promoter.
He sold free sneakers. I mean, I got it. I understand. But you're talking above not only our audience's head, you're talking above my head, and I'm the human podcast machine.
No, wait a minute. When it comes to money, we're not talking over your head.
Well,
trust me.
True.
You understand that very well. Don't play dumb with me.
Kafab.
I see how you always pick up the tab at the Mexican restaurant when it's $9, and you stick me when it's 30 for dinner. Come on, I see what you're up to.
When there's adult beverages, but you have to kafab, my kafab.
Okay, what is that?
Kafab. Anyway, I digress. So, what number are we on? 3, 2, 1, 5.
Daniel Bryan in the 5 slot. Keep it going.
Good, Seth, what do you got? 5.
I got Dean Ambrose. I think I love the intensity and passion he brings, and like he really goes all in. And you can tell the difference from a guy who's like reading his lines, and he does it well. And he also he works well in the ring as well. I like him a lot.
Okay.
I think he's a bright future.
I'm gonna tell you, we've heard Dean Ambrose's name. Tanae had him in the 8 hole. You had him up. That sounded weird. Eight hole. Tanae had him in the 8 hole, and Seth, you just put him in the 5 hole. I do not have young Dean Ambrose on my list. How bad is that? I had to double check, make sure I didn't have him. I had to peek over. Seth caught me too. I'll tell you why I don't have my. I think the kid's great. I think he obviously is getting a big push and all that. But I got to tell you, I hate to say something negative about a guy who's working hard. I feel his promo. I love his in-ring work. Physically, is great. His look is cool too. But I feel like the crazy man thing, the way it seems forced. It seems, as we say, like a work, in my opinion. That's just my opinion, okay? That's just the way I see it. It seems like a work. Bram and Ambrose both are doing this crazy man gimmick, for the lack of better terms. These promos that are whacked out. And I'm telling you, if you watch them side by side, this kid Bram, he is more believable, and it's just my opinion.
I think it's a great point.
Yeah, thank you.
That's me doing the job, even though I have Ambrose on the list and Bram right underneath. But no, I think you made a great point.
Well, you know I don't do well with the job stuff, so you know how that goes. So,
not in your vocabulary.
You got to break rings with holes in them to have me lose. guys with tattoos on their heads that are legends.
Thank you, Bam Bam.
That's it, brother. Bam Bam. Love Bam Bam. Miss Bam Bam. Okay, here we go. Number five for myself. I am going with the phenomenal AJ Styles. You know, his Ring of Honor work, obviously his history in TNA, the New Japan work. I just think that, I know, Mike, you had him in the six hole. You didn't have him, Seth, right?
I got him.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So here's my thing, though, with AJ. And Mike, you touched on it about promos. I think that, you know, in Japan, it's a great spot for him. Ring of Honor, yes. I think that in TNA, his promo work, it was kind of obvious that he was struggling a little bit, but this is what I liked about AJ's promos. You could see in his eyes, he was passionate about what he said. Some people say, well, he's got that southern drawl, it's tough, he seems like just a good old boy. And you know what, I've had people knock me for my Brooklynese accent. You know,
You're from Brooklyn?
Yes, that's what I heard.
Oh.
And like Jim Ross, you know, Jim Ross, you know, with his, what they call, Oklahoman southern drawl. You know, I mean, but you know what, that's your niche. How do you say it, Mike? Niche.
Niche! think about it. In terms of your promo work, and I'm right there with you on AJ, sometimes you are limited by the character that you are given by creative or by the input from creative towards your promo work. So, it's one thing, yeah, of course, to judge a guy on his ability to deliver. Yes, sometimes you're limited by what you're given.
All right, well, we're getting in the top four. I'm getting excited. I'm all fired up. All right, Mike, what do you got? Four, what do you got?
Number four. Might surprise a few people because, you know, nobody really...
Hold on, Mike. No one is going to be more shocked than you two guys with my number four. But go ahead. What's your number four?
Number four for me is CM Punk. Again, who knows in terms of his status exactly what that is, but for in-ring ability, promo ability, talk about selling merchandise, great, great stuff.
No doubt.
I think a guy who also had a character in mind, stuck with that, conviction of it, delivered on it, CM Punk in number four.
Tell you what, I don't have Punk on my list, anywhere near my list, and it's not because I'm not a fan. It's not because I don't personally know him and like him. It's because, like you said, his status. Don't know. He's in limbo. As we're taping this, he's in limbo. So, look, talking about Punk for a sec, look, no doubt. The guy is passionate. You're right. His conviction, his desire, the character he built was so innovative, coming up with a concept of a guy that doesn't drink and do drugs. And that's a role model. You know, but he still has that rock, that punk, I'm going to kind of show my age, that punk rocker type look, feel thing, whatever you want to call it.
Attitude,
thank you, where he's slick, cool, but yet he doesn't drink, he doesn't do drugs, you know what I mean? And I think that I know that was all from Punk, and that was his innovative, I should say, and not only that, his ability to incorporate submission and how well he's done that into the pro wrestling world of his strong style of work. Big fan of Punk, don't have my list. Mike's got him on the full hole. I'm impressed. What do you got, Seth?
I agree with what you said about CM Punk. Number four, I have one of my favorite wrestlers all around right now is Austin Aries.
Oh, okay. I like that.
I love his work. Everything he does, I love.
Aren't many things wrong with Austin Aries as a professional wrestler on television. I mean, I have him on my list too, but I didn't say him yet. But huge fan, good pick right there on your part. What do you think about Aries, bro? Mike, tonight?
Bell to bell, unbelievable. With you on Austin Aries. Do not have him in my top 10. Do have him on my cut-down list just off to the side.
Okay. Here we go. I'm shocking the world.
Uh-oh.
Well, at least my listeners who were nice enough to download this and you two cats. But this is going to be weird. Help me figure this out here.
You know Randy Savage is dead, right?
No, I know that. No, thanks. I put two guys in, a tag team. Tag team. I changed the rules a little bit. It's my show.
Well, you're making the rules on the fly.
Well, that's the gimmick, right? I'm the human podcast stream. I do what the frick I want, Mike.
No parameters.
No. But they're brothers. The Briscoe brothers.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. You know, Mark and Jay Briscoe, Ring of Honor fame. I'm telling you right now, you will not find two guys, and again, I'm going to use the word, that look more real. The way they talk, the way they work, the way they're built, the way they keep themselves groomed, or lack thereof. No, I'm serious, though, man. Those guys are badass. Two cats from Delaware. I've never met these guys. I've been fans of these guys forever. I can't wait to the day that I get the opportunity to meet them. Okay, I've never met them in my life. I've watched their work for years. They are, I'm sure they had to have opportunity over the years to go to a TNA or WWE. In the four hole, I have the Briscoes. It's hard to tell. I don't know which one's better, Mark or Jay. But I'm sorry, I changed the rules. I hope you guys aren't mad at me. That's my four hole Briscoes.
But we don't have a vote.
No, you don't have a vote. Let me ask you a question today about the Briscoes, because you might know the answer. If not, you'll BS your way through it. Jack and Jerry Briscoe, the original Briscoes, with an O at the end of their name as opposed to an E. What's the deal with Mark and Jay? Like I said, I always wanted to ask them that when I do get the chance to meet them. I don't know if that's their real name, or do you know any of the backstory on that?
Well, you know, I remember when they were in TNA, the early days. They were in some of the matches at the Asylum. As far as real name goes, I'm not sure on that. Obviously, no relation to Jack and Jerry Briscoe. But I don't know their real names. But I tell you what, I don't think that Briscoe is their real name, but I don't know what it is. But I'm with you as far as a tag team. These guys are tremendous. I wonder about, and this I'd love to get your insight in this, would they ever have a chance to flourish in a company like the WWE?
No, because they're too, and it's not their fault. In my opinion, it's WWE's fault. And the reason is those two guys are not, from what I understand, the way they work and the way they conduct themselves, I heard they're good people, but they're not the type to conform.
They have a mind of their own.
Amen. And I think that sometimes that can be difficult, you know, in certain wrestling companies. So that's my number four. Now, where are we? We're on number three, right? Top three, Tanae. Don't let us down.
This is big. I'm not going to blow this. You know it. Number three, and you know this is going to be good, it's John Cena. Promo ability. Unquestioned. Nobody's going to ask about that. Historical impact. Guy's put the company on his shoulders for the last several years, and he's delivered. Ability to move the needle, yes. Sell merchandise, yes. When you say in-ring ability, and you know, people might throw the flag on John Cena in terms of in-ring ability, but when I watch John Cena, this son of a gun delivers on the big stage. Big match quality is right up there. If you're talking week to week, maybe a question as far as that goes a little bit, but still John Cena for me is a strong number three.
Well, I think that's obviously a no-brainer for some that would put together a list of their fantasy wrestling top 10 current wrestlers. I don't have John on my list. I mean, it's nothing. It's not that I'm not a fan of John's. I am. I mean, the guy, you're right, he's a blockbuster talent who's made millions of dollars and made millions of dollars for the WWE, always in great shape. The guy trains his rear end off. His promos are off the chart. One of the nicest guys you ever met in your life. In-ring work, yeah, some people do throw flags on his in-ring work. I mean, I'm okay with it. Does he work the same pacing, style, intensity of let's say a Randy Orton or a Bobby Roode or an AJ Styles? No. But you know what? I mean, John's obviously been extremely successful. I don't have him on in my list, to be frank with you, but today's got him in the three hole. Good move.
I concur.
All right. So what do you got, Seth? Who's your three?
I got your favorite Samoan, Samoa Joe, is at number three.
Nice.
We already talked about him. He's great. I think he could go WWE and kill it there if people were smart.
Yeah, that won't happen.
I'm just saying. I think he has the ability to do it.
I think he has the ability too. I mean, I'm a huge fan. Yeah. I just think that they kind of just leaning a lot towards the cosmetic looking guys and the bodybuilding esque like they were back in the day. And then they were going for guys that looked more like fighters. I mean, oh look, you could say Bray Wyatt. I'm looking at the way he looks. And that's why I had him so high on my list, because he's pulling that off physically like that. I mean, Joe, I don't know. I just think, I don't know. Mike, what do you think? Mike, what do you think? How would Joe fare in a WWE?
I don't think that Joe really would be one of those guys who would be given the opportunity to really shine. It's much like that situation with the Briscoes.
Well, I know that feeling.
Yeah. Been there, done that, huh?
Yeah.
To me, it's almost like because Joe now has been with TNA for so long, the WWE looks at that as a negative. The WWE is the company that, when the Road Warriors came in, they couldn't really call them the Road Warriors. They had to call them the Legion of Doom. They have to put their own brand on each, which I understand. It's been very successful for them. It's not a knock on the company.
Yes.
It's worked for them. But what it does do is it takes somebody like Samoa Joe and it makes it very difficult for him to make that transition just because of their mindset.
I agree, man. okay, we're going to go top two. Well,
you're number three.
Yeah, that's right. I know. I'm just testing you, Seth.
boy.
No, you know why? Because I'll tell you why. I had a thought. You know, Mike, you know how I could think one way, and it's tough to think like a lot of different things at once for me. You know, chair shots and all. So,
One track mind.
Yeah, I was zoning in. I had this idea. I'm thinking while we're chatting here, let's put the cart ahead of the horse for a second. Mike, I want you to come back on the show here, on the podcast. Going forward, we're going to do a tag team top 10, either current, we'll discuss it, current or all-time tag team. Then we'll do a female wrestler top 10. I don't think we're doing enough justice to tag teams and or females. Agreed, Mike?
Any chance that we can narrow it down and have a midget podcast, too?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that would be a no-brainer. I'll probably win that. I'll probably
be
number one.
Sky Lolo and Fuzzy Cupid.
Number one.
With Little Beaver just on the app. Wait a minute.
Little Beaver? What the hell? Hold on. Hold on a second.
Talk about that on TV, but call the hotline.
I thought this show was about wrestling. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, there's some kind of wrestling in that. So here's my number two. And I got to tell you,
you're
Seth, I was impressed.
This is your number three.
That's
please,
right.
Don't jump
my
the
number
gun.
Three.
Chair shots.
I need a roadmap.
Singapore Canes.
Begging. That's for your fault, Seth, because you didn't give me the friggin' empty list because I didn't have my stuff.
Oh, it's an empty list, all right.
Mike, you and I have worked together for years. Do I not need my handheld?
It doesn't hurt. Let me just say this. It does not hurt.
I need my... And then I'll just go. I'll just roll.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Set the table for the man, and he will clear it.
Mike, I am not getting paid enough for this.
All right. So my number three is, Seth had him in the four-hole, and it's... actually, I changed. I'm changing my list.
Uh-oh.
Oh, geez. On the fly. It's his show, right?
No, because I just saw something on the ticker.
The human podcast machine is changing his list.
Yeah, I'm changing it because I'm a little aggravated. All right, here's my number three. Seth Rollins, formerly known as Tyler Black. He's my number three. I just got it from Kuiper. He's my number three. That's it. Yeah, Seth Rollins, man. I mean, where'd you have him? You had him 10.
Had him 10, yeah.
Yeah, I got to tell you, here's my thing with Seth Rollins today. I think that, look, you knew back in the day, when I first came in TNA, I was telling you about this kid Tyler Black from Ring of Honor. Remember that?
Check.
And I was like, another guy I never met. I'm like, this kid is just a stud. He's great. He looks great. He wrestles unbelievable. His promos are really good. A kid from Iowa, getting it done, looking great. I knew once WWE locked him down, he was going to their developmental, whatever he was doing, XXT, whatever it's called.
NXT.
Thank you. I knew that he would be tremendous. Knew it. And sure enough, he's showing it. I just, everything about this guy, I think that this guy has a massive, massive upside. Future big time world heavyweight champion. Seth Rollins is my guy in three.
You know, I love the fact that we didn't have parameters for this. Because we don't, it gives our list such a different flavor. And I am going to start number two off by going with none other than, well, the one word that we've all used, I think, in extolling the virtues of some of these guys is believability. This is the all-time believability guy in my mind, and that's Brock Lesnar in the number two slot.
Well, look, that's tremendous. I think that's great. I don't have Brock in my top 10. He's on my outside small list, and we will discuss that. No, just freaking Seth keeps looking at my list. you gotta see him, Mike. Yeah, I don't have. I love Brock. I think Brock is one of the. Yeah, definitely believability, no doubt. And Brock's an animal. He's a beast. He's great. But I'm gonna get into Brock when I talk about my outside list. But Mike's got him at two. What do you got, Seth?
Oh, we talked about him a lot, and I just think his in-ring work is uncomparable. It's AJ Styles. I mean, you guys said his promo might. You know, sometimes it's not the best. I think. Just what he does in the ring makes up for his lack of promo to me. Okay. I think he's amazing.
Okay, you got him in two. I had him in five. Tanae had him in six. So Tanae and I, we had him around the same. I would think there's a good chance, Seth, we're more credible than you, so you're wrong. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm teasing. You have your own opinions. And unfortunately,
stop. Whatever. I'm wrong. Whatever.
Unfortunately, you're entitled to your opinion. I don't know why, but you are. No. That's cool. Well, no, we wanted to get your perspective. I wanted to get your perspective as a fan of our industry. I think that's important. You know,
I'm going Keeper League.
Stop with the Keeper League.
Come on. Be honest. You're kissing up to the producer. Let's go. Keep the ball rolling.
I love it. Today's getting hot. All right. So, number one, Mike. Who's your number one? Drum roll, please. Hold on. Drum roll. Go ahead, Mike. What do you got?
Number one for me, and again, I looked at this in terms of coming up with this list as being the promoter. I wanted to have this list of people that I could use to sell tickets and pay-per-views. So number one to me is The Rock. Mainstream, nobody in professional wrestling really has accomplished what The Rock has accomplished in the last few years in terms of making that move into mainstream. Promo ability, sell merchandise, sell pay-per-views, put the guy on the card, winner. The Rock, to me, is number one.
That was me, Mike. That was a sound effect by me.
See, but this is why it's great that we didn't have parameters. We don't have cookie cutter lists.
No,
it isn't the same thing
I
for
know.
Each guy. That's what makes it so good.
But Mike, how do you have him number one? I love Rock.
If I'm the promoter, that's the one guy that I want on my card more than anybody else because he's the guy that's going to sell my pay-per-views. He's going to sell my merchandise.
I told you when I hung up in your face to do your homework, correct? And you didn't. Your homework is current. This guy is not current.
You don't think if you put, okay, here we got The Rock, we got Lesnar, we got Cena right at the top. These are the guys that are doing the numbers.
Rock is not current. He's not.
He is current.
Mike.
He's current to me.
Okay, what's the last house show he made for WWE?
Well, you know, he's here, he's there. But this is fantasy draft. This is being the guy who now is able to come up with this roster. This is the roster that I looked at in terms of today, who I wanted, and then the guys that I put towards the bottom.
All right,
the
Wade Barrett, right.
The Dean Ambroses, those
all
are
right.
The guys that have that potential to move
all right.
Upwards.
You're allowed to have Rock.
Give me parameters or else I'll go crazy.
And I want to say, I know that. I love Rock. He's everything you just said. I've had the opportunity to wrestle Rock. He's great. His promos, talking about a box office draw, his merchandise, his in-ring look, his physicality, his body always looks amazing. You know, I'm a huge fan of The Rock, but in my opinion, he's not on my list because he's not a current competitor.
See, that's our difference of opinion.
Yeah, it's my show. It's my show, Mike. You know what I mean? It's my show.
He's not on the list.
It's my show, Professor Vegas, my ass. All right? So go ahead, Seth, what do you got?
Keep it clean for CBS, would you?
Well, yeah, my last guest didn't, but that's another story.
I smell what you're cooking, Mike, but I don't have The Rock on my list either. Sorry.
Wow.
That was cheap. All right.
Yeah, he's doing a little, you heard that, Mike? He gave you a little, I smell what you're cooking. You got that?
I got that.
You can't see me, but that's John Cena. Well, I raised one of my eyebrows. Yeah,
I'm working with Mr. Mark. Okay, go ahead.
I have a guy that I'm sure you guys don't have on your list, but again, I just think he's awesome. And I have Dolph Ziggler number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Explain that.
I love his intensity, his passion. You know he wants to be the best. You can tell that.
I agree.
You believe him when he talks.
I agree with you.
And his in-ring work is great. I mean, to me, he could be like a Shawn Michaels type. I mean, I think he's great.
And
he's got the right size, too. He could go with the small guys, and he can go with the big guys.
Okay. Here's my thing. respect that you have a guy like Ziggler on there. I'm a fan of Ziggler's work. I think another guy with an amazing future ahead of him. And I'm the host, so I already took Mike Tenay, who's the guest, and told him his number one was wrong.
And your number one is wrong,
this
Seth.
This is great. Seth, your number one is wrong, and here's why. And it's not a knock on Ziggler. His body of work. See, the guys that like are in that top three, in my view, they need to have a certain body of work. So I just contradicted myself because Seth Rollins is number three, yeah, and you don't have a body of work.
And I have The Rock, Lesnar, and Cena, so thank you very much for making my point.
All right. So
welcome to the Mike Tenay Show, everybody.
Exactly. Yeah, well, now, you know what, Mike? It's the top two that needs to have a body of work. You know? No. The body of work, to me, is important. So that's why I wouldn't have Ziggler as number one. I mean, look, it's hard you're not throwing a flag on a Rock at number one. My only point, again, Mike, was that he's not current, but we could agree to disagree on that. And it's my show, so I'll be right. My number one, and I respect you, Seth, for having a guy like Ziggler. You shocked me. Mike, you shocked you or what?
I'm shocked. And don't get me wrong. Love what Dolph Ziggler brings, the intensity, like you said. The guy looks like he belongs in the ring. But I'm with you, Taz, in terms of what has he accomplished. And I also, and I guess in my head, we can't stop ourselves from thinking this, potential down the line, what do you think he eventually will accomplish? Will Dolph Ziggler make it from the mid-card to the main event?
Tough to do. I'm telling you from experience, that's tough to do in that place.
Tough to do. So that's why I do not.
It's tough to do.
I think he has a good chance, though.
He's got a chance. I think you're right. He's got a chance. I totally agree with you. All right. My number one, we discussed him here earlier. I mean, both of you gentlemen had him on your list. I have number one, the it factor, Bobby Roode. I just feel that Bobby Roode embodies everything of what a champion is. I believe that he's been a main eventer a plethora of times. I believe Bobby Roode has proven he's, like John Cena, has proven that he's a big-time player. He's a pressure cooker player. He can wrestle in the top slot and not drop the ball. To me, a major part of being a number one on a fantasy wrestling top 10 draft is to be number one, you need to have the one important element, and that is consistency. And I think a guy like Bobby Roode is consistently credible in his in-ring work, bell-to-bell, his promo work. I know earlier you said, Seth, that he kind of, once in a while, his promos, didn't you say something like
that? I feel a little forced sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it might be written that way, too.
All right.
So, but I think Bobby's, I don't know, Mike, do you feel his promos are forced at all, Roode's?
I do not, and you're preaching to the choir when it comes to putting over Bobby Roode. You know, going back to his tag team days, going back to his Team Canada days. Just one of those guys, and most recently the one that you pointed out to me and I'm on board with too is Bram. One of those guys who jumps off the screen at you. That's your term. I'm stealing it.
Yes.
He jumps off the screen as being the guy that you're looking for. That's Bobby Roode to me. So that's why I had him for sure. Can't miss top 10.
Yeah, I agree. I'll tell you what, guys. I think that no one can really say, I don't know. I mean, the list that the three of us put together, and again, we did not discuss who's going to be on those lists, which made this cool, I think, right?
Yeah.
So I this was fun, and I think that people who downloaded this, and again, thank you for downloading this, you probably had fun also. And you know what might be cool, Seth? When we do the podcast and we have Mike back on, where we cover the top 10, maybe all-time tag teams, and include current guys, because there's less tag team stuff going on now. Mike, what's your opinion about that? Do it like that? What do you think?
I like that, because I think the way tag team wrestling has gone, I think we need to go all-time tag teams, because as you know, back in the 60s and the 70s, they were established teams that stayed together forever, even on into the 1980s.
Right.
But as of late, your tag teams usually don't have that kind of longevity.
I agree, Mike, and let's do this. Seth, maybe we can have, you know, we'll have fans, listeners of the Human Podcast, you know, of this show, send in their list.
Definitely.
Of their top tag teams once we put that out.
And we'll pick out a few and we'll read them out.
Yeah, of course we will. Sure. And then even knockouts or divas, whatever you want to call it, female wrestlers of all, well, we could do current and tag team. What do you think, Mike? We could do it that way, right? I mean, current top females and all time, or should we just do all time with current involved?
I like with the knockouts or the females, I like the all-time list where you're able to incorporate today's females into that group, because let's be honest when it comes to women's wrestling. Athletically, I think it's almost at a peak today. Now, in terms of ones that really move the needle, you might look back at a fabulous Lula.
You're doing a show now about the knockouts and the females. Stop. I just asked you a question. Stop. Jesus.
It's called an explanation, and I think the reason that you're asking for input from your listeners is so you can bury them because you're tired of burying Seth and myself.
Well, yeah, you kind of know me. All right, good. So we did our top 10. I think that was great. I really do. I think that was awesome. All right, Mike, well, look, this has been great. Unfortunately, we're out of time to do the all-time top 10 draft.
Wait, what do you mean? I've got my list ready.
Well, bro, you, your lungs are filled with too much oxygen, bro. I don't know what's going on. Your lungs are like a hookah bottle or something.
Wait a minute. Wait, you know me too well.
So it's like a 55-gallon drum inside that chest of yours.
Yeah, hey, next time call me at 420 instead of 720.
Well, hold on a minute. RVD, come right in. Anyway, so here's the deal. I want to invite you back. I know we talked about we're going to do a tag team deal. Let's do another podcast with the Human Podcast Machine right here. Me, Taz. We'll have Seth put together his all-time top 10 draft fantasy wrestling list. Mike, you obviously will do your all-time top 10 fantasy wrestling draft list, and I will also. And let's put a few honorable mention guys in there or sidebar list guys. So, and that'll be good. So, again, everybody, thanks for downloading this. Tell your friends and family. Make sure you tell your pets. Let them know the Human Podcast Machine, handling pro wrestling and sports entertainment. A little bit different than the other cats, but it's fun, it's good. And remember, boys and girls, if someone gives you pushback or lip back, look them in the eyes and say, beat me if you can, survive if I let you.